Lecture 35, Alexander the Great.
In the last lecture, we considered the material culture of Persia, and we saw several examples of the types of luxuries and wealth that so intrigued the Greeks. Alexander the Great was only 25 years old when he crossed into Asia, claiming revenge against the Persians for their attacks on Greece in the 5th century. When he defeated the Persian king Darius III at Gaugamela in 331 BC, he quickly moved to take the capital of Babylon, which welcomed him as the legitimate successor to the Achaemenid dynasty. Alexander, in return, behaved much as a traditional ruler of Mesopotamia was supposed to behave. He began to rebuild temples, he worshipped at the shrine of Marduk, he even began to restore canals. Alexander left Babylon to continue to expand his empire, eventually reaching India, but his army forced him to return, fearing that they were reaching the end of the world. Alexander died of an illness in Babylon in 323 BC, leaving no strong successor. As his empire was divided among his generals, the land between the rivers was drawn into broader Mediterranean political struggles. The Persian court had involved itself in Greek internal politics fairly frequently since their failed attacks on Greece in the 5th century BC. During the Peloponnesian War, the great civil war between Athens and Sparta, Sparta had sought the aid of Persia and received significant contributions that helped Sparta defeat Athens in the late 5th century BC. Athens would never again become a significant military or political power in Greece after this war. If we look at Persia, we see that the succession after Xerxes' death, remember he was assassinated, became a troublesome issue, moving back and forth between different branches of the royal family. Our sources for this period are very poor. We have the account of an Athenian general, Xenophon, who belonged to a mercenary force hired by a younger brother of Artaxerxes II, who ruled from 404 to 359 BC. This makes him the longest ruling Achaemenid. Artaxerxes' brother tried to take control of the throne, but was ultimately unsuccessful. Since Xenophon was on the losing side, as a source for Persian politics, he is of limited value. Otherwise, we know only a few events in the early 4th century. Egypt regained its independence from Persia early in the century, but the Persians retained control over the area of Syria-Palestine. In the half century or so between the end of the war between Athens and Sparta and the rise of the Kingdom of Macedonia in northern Greece, the Greek states fought several smaller civil wars. The constant fighting between the Greek states weakened much of mainland Greece and allowed the king of Macedon, Philip II, who ruled from 359 to 336 BC, to capture most of Greece and place it under the control of Macedon. Philip began planning to lead a united force of Greeks and Macedonians against Persia, claiming that this offensive attack was revenge for the 5th century invasions of Darius and Xerxes. His goal was to revive the old alliance of the Greek states that had fended off the Persians under new leadership and to solidify his own hegemony in Greece. Philip was assassinated at his daughter's wedding, leaving his son Alexander as his heir. Before I begin discussing Alexander's march through Asia, I should talk about the sources for his rule, because they are our best sources for what's happening in Persia, and they're extremely problematic. All of the surviving sources for Alexander are Roman, and the earliest was written 3 centuries after Alexander's death, long after Alexander's legend had been firmly established.